Jesus! Come on, give him a big shout of praise. Jesus! Ah! Oh! Ah! Oh! Hey. Thank you for the welcome, but it's really not about me. You know, we used to play a game in Sunderland, and that is spot the pastor, really. We used to try and be as, undercover as possible. We felt it was more about him than us. I just want to speak into this because I am going to Sioux Falls, which I'm renaming Niagara Falls, because I do believe in my spirit that there will be a Niagara type blessing, the type you're seeing on the screens. David Wagner is preaching with me, and he has just returned from Holland, ministering with a young man by the name of Matthias van der Steen. And I received an email from Matthias and to say that it's broken out. The Holy Spirit has been let loose. He says, David Wagner has been twice and he can't come anymore for the moment. Can you come? I said, I would if I could, but it's breaking out here. Cool. Ah! Oh. And it just so happens that we're both together in the one place. Only God could do that. So if you... No, you have to stay here. Ah. I want to just speak a word into it because I am leaving early in the morning. But in the words of someone famous, I'll be back. I can see the preparation of God. I can see the preparation of God in Pastor Glenn preparing a servant who, don't worry, he will carry this move. He will carry it. From time to time, the Lord will send him some armor bearers, people who have moved in the things of the Spirit, and they'll come not to take over, they'll come to refresh, and they will come to give him just a little opportunity just to take stock of himself, really. On top of that, I have a feeling that this is not just a little church thing that's happening here. I just, I sense that, you know, that it has the potential to affect the nation in the way that, affect the nation might be too much. It has the potential to bring to the nation the attention of what is happening here. It will be up to other people whether they come or not. But just like the Lord put a big megaphone on Pensacola, I certainly didn't know where Pensacola was. I had no idea. You know, I thought it was a drink. You know that? And then somebody said, God's doing something in Pensacola. Have you heard about it? I had to get the map out. Nobody has to get the map out for Greenwich. And he's put one of the biggest airports, or some of the biggest airports in the world here. And I just thought, isn't that neat that people can fly into New York and not have to get a connecting flight to here? I can see the provision of God, Dan, in you as well. That this thing is carried on music. You need to know that. Number one, it's the man or the woman of God that will just let the Holy Spirit have his way. It's an essential ingredient for a move. The second most important is who handles this area here. And it didn't take me long to realize that, you know, God had been doing a good work in Dan McCauley. And I know for that reason as well, there's longevity here. Not only that, but there's a hungry people. More will come each night. I'm prophesying that. Pastor Glenn says, I've only got a little building. I says, well, you have a dome somewhere. And I understand there's a downstairs room somewhere else. And yeah. And I wonder what Greenwich Town Hall would feel if we put a big tent out there somewhere. They would get upset. They might. The fire of God's going to fall tonight. Early this morning, I received this word from the Lord, and it's been burning in me all day. And I knew when the Lord gave it to me, I actually talk much better than this. I'm sorry, you know, I'm a much better preacher than you're seeing right now. It'll take me a while just to get used to what I'm feeling, but we'll get there. I believe that God is going to send fire upon as many as want it. In Acts 2, it says they gathered in an upper room, 120 people. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all of one accord. And the Holy Spirit, who really doesn't need much of an excuse, came with tongues of fire, and it rested on each one. I like the way that Reinhard Bonnke says it. You know, he says, 120 flames of fire entered that room, one for each head. Ha. Well, let it happen, Lord. Isaiah 6 says this. In the year that King Uzziah died. So kings die. Kings come and kings go. But there is one king that will live forever. He will neither come nor go. He has no beginning. And because of that, he can have no ending. He has always been. Not from the beginning of time. It's just that he has always been. We know him. Yes, we know him. As the King of Kings. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes, his eyes were like a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no one knew except himself. And he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword. That with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. And he himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written. King of kings. And Lord of lords. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written. King of kings and Lord of lords. Some kings die because they are human. They are mortal. They are flesh and blood. It is appointed for them to be born, and it is appointed for them to die. And God holds all of that in his hands. But there is a king who was never born. Yes, begotten of the Father, but not born in the way that you and I understand it. And because of that, he is no ordinary king. He is no mortal being. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. Come on, give him a great hand of praise. The King of kings and the Lord of lords. And that king is here. Here tonight in this room. That same king who has written on his thigh, King of kings and Lord of lords. That one whose flame, his eyes are like flames of fire, is here tonight. He who wears many crowns is here tonight. He who has a sword, he who is called the Word of God, he who rides a white horse is here tonight. Yes, the King of kings, the King of all kings is here tonight. He is my king. He is your king. And if he's the king of kings, then we cannot have another king in our life. We ourselves cannot be king. Neither can we have something that enthrones us and purports to be a king. If he is to be the King of kings, then he has to be the King of kings. We have a choice. The choice is ours. It's not for him to make himself a king or the king in your life. The choice is ours to dethrone, to kill, to put to death those other kings. He knows who he is. We don't have to tell him. We don't have to persuade him. We just have to dethrone those that would take his place. It's a simple choice. Isaiah said, in the year that King Uzziah died, on the day that my king died, at the time when I dethroned the king that had been ruling in my life, maybe all of my life. On the day that the king that I was conscious of was put to death, I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord, not as a baby in a manger, not as a boy in the temple talking to the scribes and Pharisees, not the carpenter's son in Nazareth. Can I suggest not even the Christ on the cross? But he wants you to see him tonight as he is, the risen, the ascended, the glorified Son of God. Ha ha! Ha! Ha ha! Oh! Ha! Oh! Ha! Have you seen him? Have you seen his eyes? Like flames of fire. Have you seen him? Have you seen him clothed white in fine linen? Have you seen him riding a white horse, leading the armies of heaven, coming to judge the earth? Have you seen him who is all powerful? Who with the very words of his mouth smites the nations? Have you seen him? I mean that Jesus. Have you seen that Christ? Is he that Lord in your life? Or do you still have a little Jesus? Do you still have just a little Lord? Or is he, as you see him, mighty, all conquering, powerful, indestructible? Have you seen that Jesus? I saw the Lord. Yes, Isaiah saw that Jesus. I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. What is that? More to the point, who is that? What, who, temple needs to be filled tonight? He's here to fill. No half measures. No half you, half Christ. No, we're not playing percentages here. We're not going 50-50. We're not even going 98%. We are going 100% filled with his glory. Ha! Ha ha! Ha! Oh! Ha ha! Ha! Oh! 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 Ha! Whoa! Whoa! Whew. His robe filled the temple. Come and fill me, Lord. I am so hungry tonight. I am so desperate to be filled with Him. I want to tell you, I'm consumed with Him. I'm passionate about Him. If it's possible, and I know it is, I want more. I want more of Him. Oh. Oh. Above it, that is the throne, stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. And with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, ha, ha, ha. No, not ha, ha, ha. Whoa. That's in the Amplified version. Whoa. Whoa. This is the New King James. Ah! And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. The whole earth is full of His glory. What were they looking at? What were they seeing that they could make such a statement? The whole earth is filled with His glory. I believe that the whole earth is full of His glory because it's His. But I do believe that that glory is yet to be revealed. And they looked to a day yet. They saw a day. Brothers and sisters, that may not be too far away. When the whole earth is filled with His glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of Him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. I want to talk like this. I want to speak like this. I want to have authority on my words like this. You see, it didn't shake because God said it. It shook because those that were around the throne were talking. But because of the authority on their words when they said, holy. It didn't come from holy. It came from holy. Their total whole being spoke it. Yeah, it came out of their mouth. But every fiber of their being was saying the same thing. Every cell was saying, holy. I don't know about you, but I think I've got a ways to go yet. So we don't say that in England, but I knew you do in America, so I thought I would do that tonight. We got a ways to go yet. I feel that. You see, I want to be able to just say, holy, and things shake. 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 Oh. I can only do that if I am holy, if every part of me is holy, that when I say holy, My very being speaks out and says, holy. Are you with me on this? Do you think there's room for improvement? I mean, if you're somebody that shakes things when you say holy, I'd like to say that. I'm asking God to make the church his bride. Authoritative, powerful, demonstrative, holy, pure. So that when it speaks, that which can be shaken, shakes. Being around a few people like that. Scary. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him, that's the seraphim and all the other heavenly beings, who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. Isaiah sees all of that because a king was dethroned. I want to tell you, you can have that. We can share in that vision when our kings are dethroned. But it will have an effect on you. It should devastate you. I tell you, when you see the Lord like that, it should smash us to pieces. We can never be the same. We can never take that kind of experience casually. It has to have the desired effect. It has to be that I'm crying out like Isaiah cried out when he said it, when he saw it rather. He said, woe is me, I'm undone. It's good to get undone. So what's this all about? Well, we're just getting undone. Why is the pastor doing that? He's getting undone. What happened to the deacons? Well, they're getting undone. That's a miracle right there. What happened to the church? It's undone. Ha ha, 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 ha. Woe is me, for I'm undone. Lord, just undo me. Look, just take away my pride. Just take away my self-consciousness. Just take away my reputation. Take away my name. Whatever you have to do, just undo me. For I'm a man of unclean lips. See, we'll expose your sin. We're getting cleaned up. We're not just dethroning kings, but we're getting clean. I'm a sinful man, Isaiah says. Well, let me repeat it and make it very personal. So am I. Like, oh no, you're the speaker. You're the man from England. I'm a sinful man. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. In other words, God, there's no hope. I've looked at him who is pure. I've looked at him who is clean, who is without sin, who is transparent. And all I'm conscious of is myself. I want to be like him. I want to be like him. But I'm conscious that I'm like me. What is the hope? My eyes have seen the Lord, the King, the Lord of hosts. God, what hope do we have? I think God heard him. He said, I can fix that. I have a fix in heaven for that. I can do something. And he says to one of the seraphims, fly down to him. Fly down to him. But take with you a live coal, which you will take from the altar with the tongs from the altar. You see, I read that. I've read it 1,000 times. I've preached from this scripture many, many times. But then it suddenly dawned on me that this altar was in heaven. There was no altar on earth that can fix this. There's nothing that man has built that can really fix this problem of the human heart. When you've seen the Lord and you're convicted of your sin. It had to be something from heaven. And the heavenly being that was to administer was himself not allowed to touch it. Only those like you and I. Does Hebrews not say that these who have not been redeemed like you and I, they look upon us and envy, because they would wish that they would have what we have. What they've got is that's it. They've got it. But we are yet to enter in. And they have seen what we're about to enter into. And they are envious of us. They would wish that they too could touch what we touch. Have what we have. And this seraphim is told to take the coal from the altar with tongs. From the altar. And behold, and he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged. Well, I'm reading the Old Testament. That was a good call, wasn't it? Because it fixed him. It was a call from the altar. And it touched his lips. And it cleansed him from his sin. And it purged him from his iniquity. But it was one man on one occasion who got a vision of the Lord. It was never going to satisfy God. No. He was looking at the world and saying, I need a coal that will come once and cleanse all humanity and purge all humanity of their iniquity, and it couldn't be found on earth. He had to search heaven for a coal. And the only one, or the only coal he could find, was his only begotten Son. The very Lamb of God himself. He who is pure. He who is holy. He whose eyes are like flames of fire, came to earth and touched us, touched our hearts, touched our lives, cleansed us from our sin, purged us from our iniquity. When you've experienced that and more, it has to have an effect. It cannot be for the experience. It cannot be just like, whoa, didn't we have a great meeting? It cannot be, wow, we've got a move of God going on here. They're coming from all over. It has to break out somewhere. I think that God wants in each and every one of our lives a rhythm of living. A rhythm of living like Christ had. Where we don't just do it at times, but actually it's the heartbeat of how we are. It's the rhythm of our lives before God. I want to suggest that it's up and it's in and it's out. And we need up, in and out. And here in this scripture, you have clearly up the vision. Christ on his throne in the coals, cleansing, purifying. But look what happens next. Then I said, here am I, send me. Here am I. Send me. It's a cue. It's all right. You know, we'll, as time goes on, we'll get it nice and smooth and it'll just be, you'll hardly see the joins. Hey, ha, Shabba. Here am I. I want to ask you these questions, or this one in particular. I want to ask you, do you have an up, in, and out when you stand before the Lord? Or are you just up and in? That's the problem, you know, with the church. Nobody here, the rest, all those out there. But not this one, or the one you've come from. But the problem is, we're very good at up these days. Very good. In fact, the Holy Spirit has breathed on our up. And worship is second to none all over the world. In my church back home in Sunderland, my son-in-law, who's my worship pastor, he will start Friday night and he will burn for 30 hours with Rick Pino, Sean Foyt. You might know these guys. And just worship God. I was in IHOP last week, 4 hours in the prayer room. Amazed. 24/7. Night and day, day and night, worship. It was amazing. I was amazed at people like Misty Edwards and just the anointing upon her and the ability just to bring the presence of God and the authority that she had in that office that she occupies, of a psalmist, of a minstrel before God. It was incredible. No, we're very strong. And we're getting stronger in our up. And you know, in recent times, we've become strong in our in. We've received much from the Lord and from one another. There are ministries now that pour in the healing power of God, the empowering of God. They're all over the place. Nobody needs to remain wounded. Nobody needs to remain fractured. Nobody needs to remain as if they're insignificant. No. The church has a strong in. You can find it. But unfortunately, as we've been strengthened in our up and in our in, we have actually become weak in our out. And yet it has to be a part of us. It was a part of Jesus. And if we are his mystical body, then it has to be a part of us. We have to have that rhythm that he had. We have to go up to the Father. Allow him to come into us and into each other and out. And Isaiah says, here am I. Why did he say that? Because that revelation opened something to him that he'd been deaf to. Do you know what will happen to you? It'll happen because I'll be praying it happens. I'm going to pray that in the weeks and months and who knows to come, that God will break your heart. Break it. For them. And I want you to hear the rumor of heaven, that which is spoken about round the throne. Look, he says when he'd been purged of his sin, his ears open, not his natural ears, his spiritual ears open, and he's hearing what he's never heard before. I want you to hear the cry of the lost. I want you to hear the cry of the broken. The cry of the abused. I want you to hear that. Isaiah heard it, and when he heard it, this is what he heard. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Plural. Who was that? It was the company, the Trinity and the company around the throne. We're now talking like they talk every day and every night as they hear the cries of the broken, of the destitute, of the fractured. As they hear that, they talk to each other. Who can we send? Who will go for us? Where are they? History has recorded one or two that heard that and said, send me. I'm thinking of a young girl, just a young girl, who got saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, and got on a boat. And she said to the Holy Spirit, where you tell me to get off and I'll work for you. And the boat stopped in Hong Kong. She got off the boat and went to what was called the Walled City. Her name was Jackie Pullinger. And she walked into hell itself. Because she heard the rumor of heaven. Who will go? Who will go for us? Whom shall we send? Are you waiting for God? Or is it not true that God is waiting for us? In Genesis, God comes looking for Adam and he says, Adam, where are you? That's an eternal question that God asks over each and every one of us tonight. Where are you? Where are you? You might not be called Adam, but he could just as well put your name in that question. Where are you? Remember when Elijah was running from Jezebel and he goes into a cave? And another eternal question comes to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? And God could ask that one of us as well. What are you doing here? I'm going to end with this. While there's a mother, while there's a father, while there's a son, while there is a daughter, while there is a grandmother, while there is a grandfather crying out to God, I will do all that I'm able to be the answer. If it's who is ready to go, I'm saying tonight, Lord, it's me who is available. It's me, Lord, who's available tonight. Send me. Why? Because this is my calling. Why am I like this? Because I've seen the Lord. I've seen Him high. And I've seen Him lifted up. And I've seen the train of His robe fill in the temple. And I asked the Lord to help me in my sinful state. Yeah, He did send a coal that saved me. But He sent another that empowered me. He sent a flame of fire. Shabba. Shabba. On a Monday night. In a boiler house prayer meeting. In the city of Newcastle, northeast England, He sent a flame of fire. To a young 18-year-old young man. That's what this is all about. It's about Him. And it's not about my mission and asking Him to help. It's about God's mission and my involvement in it. You see, it's not that I'm on mission and I need His help. It's that God's on mission and He's asked me to help Him. Boy, there is an anointing here. There is an anointing here tonight. Presence of God. I'd like us to stand to our feet.
I saw the Lord. I saw Him. He was clothed in white. I saw Him. His eyes were like flame of fire. I saw Him. I saw the Lord. Fire. Fire. Fire.
Come on, ask Him for the fire. Ask Him for the fire tonight. Ask Him to fill you with holy fire. Dethrone the King. Dethrone the King of your life. Put it to death, that you might gaze on Him, the precious Son of God, that you might look upon Him. On His countenance. On His beauty. Fire. Fire. Fire.